Welcome to the podcast of William Patterson University's chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists, or WPSPJ, where voices from the news industry guide us and inspire our future. On this podcast, we'll spotlight the activities of the nationally recognized Society of Professional Journalists chapter at William Patterson University in Wayne, New Jersey. We are the reporters of today and tomorrow, committed to SPJ's mission of diversity and democracy, and inspiring successive generations of talented individuals to become dedicated journalists.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the WPSPJ podcast. I am your host, Tommy Sherwood, the executive producer of the WPSPJ podcast, and I am joined here by Andrew Herbst and Patrick Groh. How you guys doing?
Good. Well, Tommy, how are you?
I'm doing good. Patrick?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm glad to be here with you guys.
Yeah, that's great, man. We're glad to have you. Patrick, you're new to the WPSPJ podcast. Let's introduce you to our audience. Who are you? What's your major? What's your career goal?
Yeah, so I'm Patrick Groh. I am the vice president of SPJ. I am a public relations major with an interest in journalism, and I really like sports. So my goal here really with my career is to tie in PR with sports.
That's great, man. I mean, Professor Brown, she's our PR professor at William Patterson University. She tells me all the time how PR could be really linked to sports and sports could be linked to PR. So let's cut to the chase here. Let's talk about our experience at Seton Hall University's basketball game. So we went to Shadows and Journalists there, and I got to say, I had a great time. It was just a great experience to be in a media room for the first time, watching journalists cover an event, announce for an event. Overall, it was just a great experience for me as a sports journalist to meet some people from sports journalism. So it was great for me. How did you guys enjoy your time there?
Yeah, it was really cool to see it from a different perspective, seeing it a press row and just behind the basket. It was a really fun perspective. And also getting to see the press conference after the game, which was really fun. I've watched a lot of them on YouTube, yeah, but never seen it in person. So that was really cool to hear the insights.
Yeah, Andrew, you actually bring up a really good point there. We did get to see the press conference after the game,
yep,
which I've never been to in person. To my knowledge, neither of you have. So that was a really great experience for us to have.
Yeah.
And just being around journalism, being around journalists, it was a great experience, you know, watching the interviews with the coaches, watching the journalists like type their notes in like about the game to like summarize the game for their story. It was truly a great experience for me, as I want to be a sports writer one day. Patrick, what did you think about the tour?
Yeah, that was a great tour, just to have that all access experience, and like you said, see the journalists do what they do their job, and it was just a really fun experience. And like Andrew said, a different perspective being a part of the post game interview. I thought that was one of the coolest things, the seats we had. And then, like I said, just seeing people do what they do well and do what they love to do was just really cool. And the advice that they gave us when they got to speak with us, that was really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking to those journalists before the game started was definitely a great opportunity to network with them. And, you know, I enjoyed talking with them. They're all very nice people, very, like, willing to give us some advice. So I was really happy that we were able to get that experience with them. So like we said before, you know, we were in the press box. Like, that's a unique experience that not a lot of college journalists get to have. What did you guys see from that experience?
Just to kind of see them with their laptops and just see them in, like, in action, just how they cover the game and take notes. And
yeah,
it was kind of fun to see the running press.
Yeah, a lot of that also inspired me to even write some more. It gave me a little more inspiration to actually go to the game and kind of practice what I saw them do. It just gave me a lot of inspiration. It made me want to get some clips so maybe I could be covering a Seton Hall game one day.
Yeah, absolutely. Being that close to a game, I'd never been that close to a basketball game ever, where we were in that press row pretty much.
Uh-huh.
So just to kind of like almost hear the players, hear the coaches, and be that close, seeing how tall the players were, I mean, that was a really cool experience. And then seeing, you know, the actual press, the writers and stuff, like Andrew said, doing their job and just kind of finding a story within the game, I think is a really cool thing that they do.
Yeah, a lot of people say you gotta pick a career that you could picture yourself doing. And it's kind of hard to imagine being a journalist because it's hard to figure out what that really looks like. During this game, I really got to picture myself doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
You saw yourself in their shoes.
Yeah, like you got a vision of what being a sports reporter looks like because a lot of them are like a little like under wraps, I guess you could say, and you don't see them that much. You don't see the reporters all the time. I mean, you see them on TV, but like a lot of the times you don't just see the reporters doing their jobs and you don't get to shadow them like we did. So again, that was a very unique experience for us that we're really lucky to have.
Yeah, just kind of coming back to the point, I feel like they really love what they do because if you didn't, doing that job would it'd be strenuous. It'd be a lot to be doing that night in, night out. If you didn't love it, it would be hard. So, you know, it's something that they love to do, which I feel like makes it easier for them and makes it so that they want to, you know, keep doing it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of journalists tell me, like, when I have interviews with them and all that, you know, you got to be passionate about what you do. And that is so true. It's the passion that fuels, like, the desire to be a sports journalist because it is a very hard profession. Like, being a journalist, you know, you're not promised a certain amount of time that you're scheduled. You know, it's whenever you're done. Like, and that's kind of a job that I want because I got a lot of hustle in my blood. I just want to work. I don't look at the clock when I work. I'm not done until the job is done.
Well, switching a little bit here, just like reading and understanding people's like emotions after a game and stuff, understanding like where people are coming from. I feel like that's kind of important in journalism.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the post-game press conference and I remember one of the reporters asked the coach about his players' like health. Remember that? He asked about how healthy.
Yes, I do.
And the coach almost kind of was taken aback and he answered for the player.
Yeah.
And the coach almost was like a little upset at the reporter for even asking that. So I think there is definitely like a way in, like, I feel like from that experience, I learned that you got to read people. You got to know the situation. And
yes,
and there's different ways to handle, you know, be respectful, even if a coach, you know, kind of talks back or kind of gives an attitude with a question, because he's going to see him again. I mean, I remember watching the post game interview in the next game on like their YouTube channel. And, you know, there was the same guy asking, you know, the same coach, this, you know, similar question or, you know, questions about players. So I feel like just a level of respect there.
Yeah. And, you know, you got to know what to do in that kind of situation. Like, when you're a new reporter, you're not going to know. Like, you ask a coach a question or a player a question and someone intervenes and gets nasty with you. You know, you got to know what to do.
I feel like at first that can be hard to, like, as a journalist, that can be hard to, like, swallow. That's
exactly.
That can be tough.
And you might get scared
doing
that. And, you know, I've always wondered how a journalist dealt with that. I feel like the coach should have let the player answer the question, and the journalist definitely felt the same.
Yeah.
So
I just liked how he was professional in the way he handled that.
Yeah, it's very important to be professional, especially as a journalist, because your reputation as a journalist is so important because you're relying on journalists to give you the news that you're getting about anything, not just sports. But like if a car accident happens or a celebrity passes away, reporters are the reason why we know about things like that. We're not just going to find out through word of mouth like in the old days.
It's, you know, our job to inform people on things that are happening around them that could impact their lives.
Exactly. Without that, we don't know anything that's going on in the world. So moving on from our experience at Press Row, we actually spoke to a lot of journalists. So we're going to start listening to what advice they gave us. And the first piece of advice came from John Fanta, who was a play-by-play announcer for Fox Sports and was broadcasting the Seton Hall game live that night. So let's hear what he had to say.
I think that sports journalists are sports fans. I wouldn't be naive there. We are fans. We love what we do. We love what we do. Everybody here is a fan or else we wouldn't be involved in it. I also think what we've got a job to do. And within that job, you've got to be willing to be down the middle, tell like it is, tell the story of a game. But you want to do it with passion. Because for somebody out there watching, this is their Super Bowl. This is their NBA Finals. This is their biggest game. So energy is essential to what we do. It really is. So I am a sports fan. I'm a sports fan tonight. I love watching great games. I love watching Big East basketball. when I get on the air, I've got a story to tell and a job to do as a play-by-play guy. So you separate that and understand that, no, that, you know, us broadcasters aren't getting up out of our seats tonight and going crazy at a call or being a fan, but we use our fandom in how we present a game.
What a great quote from John Fanta here. He basically summarized what I said. You know, sports journals are sports fans. He really likes to put the passion that he has for sports in his broadcast. I think that's a great mindset to have, that you can't be a fan in the sense of screaming at the coach and all that on the air. You got to have your sports fandom, and you got to use that to your advantage when it comes to your broadcasting.
And you can tell just by the way he speaks about his job, how much he loves it. And like, how I love the part where he talked about how, for somebody out there that's watching, this is their Super Bowl, this is their NBA Finals, this is their biggest game. So some kind of random game in the middle of February, the same energy has to be put into announcing a game in the middle of a regular season as opposed to like late in March during March Madness and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Andrew, what did you think about what John Fanta said?
Yeah, no, I think with some great insight, and like he said, how his passion is infectious, and that if he's passionate, then it's going to get the fans excited, but he has to maintain his bias and not root for the team. But the more passionate he is, the better his broadcast is going to be, and the fans are going to want to tune in.
That it's really important for you to show your passion. And yes, Patrick, like you said, this is somebody's Super Bowl. And I'm going to even say this is a player's perspective. This might be a player's first game. They are like really hyped up for this game. Even if it's against two losing teams, they're not going to make it anywhere. Somebody might have a shot to really make their career and just get a jump start to their career. They called it a breakout game.
Right.
It could like.
Right. As a fan, we think like what we don't see is that like maybe the freshman or somebody that hasn't played all season, he finally gets his opportunity to play, and that game means everything to him in that moment. So it's just something that we don't really see as fans, but it's true. It's every game matters to somebody. So
yeah.
And I just to add on from John Fanta's quote, I like his honesty in the beginning, how he talks about like he is a sports fan and, you know, how to be a professional and take that love for sports and then, you know, use his energy to storytell and share that with others. I really, you know, appreciated his honesty in the beginning of that quote too.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had another WPSPGA member at the tour with us. His name is Bijan Pulley. He actually asked Matt Lachlan from Pirates Talk and Devils Radio, you cover a sports team that's on a big losing streak without overtly being critical as a student journalist, because at William Patterson University, we have a radio station, Brave New Radio, and the TV club. They have a sports desk show where they talk about Pioneer Sports, and we can't be overly critical on that show because we are a part of the college. So here's what Mac Lachlan said to Bijan to answer his question.
You can't constantly ask what's gone wrong. You can ask it a little bit. Explain to me what's happening from your perspective as a player or coach. At the same time, you can't tell those who are tuning in, hey, we got a story about a great team, because they're like, no, they haven't won in 4 weeks. But maybe what you can do is educate. So what is happening? Is there improvement? You know, they've gone from losing, this losing streak has taken them from losing games by 15 points to a couple of buzzer beaters. What player is improving? Coach, what do you see as the positives here, with the understanding that you judge by wins and losses and it hasn't been where it's at? So find another angle, right? Find a personal angle. Hey, we're going to meet the guard, starting guard for the team. Hey, no, the team hasn't won in 4 weeks, but what do you do off the court? What keeps you interested?
You can't constantly ask what's gone wrong. That's honestly, when you're covering a bad team, you can't. You just can't constantly ask what's gone wrong. I mean, yes, like he said, you can a little bit, because sometimes you have to. Because when you're covering like a really bad team, like you can't shy away from the fact that they've lost their past 10 games. You can't just cover that up and sugarcoat that. Andrew, I think beforehand you had a little saying for that. I want the audience to hear what you have to say.
The saying is, you can't put a lipstick on a pig.
That That's so important because you really can't. And, you know, yes, you at the same time, you can't always ask what's gone wrong. You got to ask, like what improvements have been made? Or better yet, what can they do to turn those losses into wins?
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure in sports. I mean, on coaches, on players. I mean, they're expected to perform, and you don't always perform well. And so I like Matt's quote here. I feel like the part where he says he tries to find positives even when a team is losing a lot, and I like his perspective. And I feel like coaches and players prefer those kind of questions because obviously teams know that they haven't been playing well. Obviously, a coach knows he's been losing. Obviously, a player knows he's losing. Obviously, you know the pressure that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like the angle, the positive angle from, you know, a journalist asking, you know, a different question about how can we fix what's going wrong, or what are you seeing in what kind of improvements are you seeing even when things aren't going right? So I really like that quote.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm going to put this in an athlete's perspective because I was an athlete in college for about a year left. So I don't want to be asked as an athlete, like, why does your team suck? Why is this, like, why is your team horrible? Like, if you're being asked that constantly by a reporter, I'm not going to want to speak to you. Like, if someone's just going to ask me, like, why have you been doing bad? Like, why is this bad? What's going wrong? Like, it's obvious what's going wrong. There's only so many things that really can go wrong, so many variables that can go wrong. At the end of the day, like, you can only ask that for a few games, and then, you know, once it's 10 games in a row, you got to be like, what have you guys been doing to try and get out of this slump? What can you do, possibly? Are there any players that you can add in? Are there any freshmen that you could possibly put out there and see what they can do? That's what you got to ask as reporters. And you got to kind of market yourself to make the players want to interview with you. You got to get the right quotes from these athletes. And after Matt Lachlan, we spoke to Adam Zagoria from NJ.com. So let's hear what he had to say.
I would say one of the best pieces of advice I got was from Kevin Manahan, my editor, who told me, anybody can get a quote, but not everybody can get the quote.
You got to get the quote. That's important because everybody, even me, even, you know, someone off the street, they can get a quote from somebody. Sure, they could ask them a question and you'll get an answer. Everyone can give you open-ended questions, but not everyone can ask the right question to get the quote.
Yeah, so I think it shows the importance of just being, of just having good, of just having good, of good questions and like being prepared. Don't, if you're prepared, then you know what to ask. So just pay attention and just the more prepared you are, the better question you can ask.
Exactly.
Yeah, like you were saying, Tommy, and you know, my opinion, this quote from Adam is his way of saying anybody can ask a question, but a lot of times, you know, journalists get answers that aren't newsworthy, and it's kind of, you know, it can be typically repetitive or boring responses from these coaches and players that won't truly interest anyone when they hear it. So I thought Adam's advice, as you know, we as journalists, we need to make our questions stand out from others. That way the responses are different but genuine from these coaches and players. And I think that could be used to get attention, you know, not only for the team but the individual journalists for their career themselves, asking good questions, because I feel like coaches and players would remember a journalist that, you know, takes a different approach when asking a good question. I think that's what makes journalism challenging, but like fun.
Finding a way to approach
a question in a way that nobody else has, and then you get a quote from a player or coach that nobody's heard before.
That quote, I don't mean to have a pun here, but that was the quote. You know, it was a shorter quote, but it just had so much deeper meaning and how it can improve your story and what can set you out and help you stand out on the job market compared to some other journalists. Did you get the quote? Did you just ask them questions and just write what they said? That's not all that journalism is. It's you got to break the news and tell people what they don't already know.
I feel like that comes with like experienced journalists.
Exactly.
Like, somebody that's just a fan and is just used to like that fan perspective of watching it, like for points, rebounds, and highlights, Yeah, it's different for, like, you could tell when we were sitting with those beat writers and the people that were asking the questions in the post-game conference, you could tell they look at the game differently. They don't look at it, like, really as a fan. They look at it in ways that other people don't see it. And I think that comes with, like, experience doing that, and I think that's a really cool part of what they do.
You're absolutely right, Patrick. And with that being said, you have reached the end of this episode of the WPSPJ podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts and follow us on social media at WPSPJ. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the WPSPJ podcast. We'd love to hear from you on Instagram and Twitter at WPSPJ. Be sure to subscribe and rate our podcast on Apple. Until next time, we are SPJ.